Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Jane Ann Phillips grew up in West Virginia, hearing about the infamous Quiet Dell murders of the 1930s. Her mother told her of walking past the murder garage where she was 6 years old, a dirt road in the hot sun lined with cars on both sides as far as she could see, and people taking the place apart piece by piece for souvenirs. The story of Quiet Dell and the killings that took place there have haunted Jane Ann Phillips ever since. The novel Quiet Dell is the result of her desire to write a novel where beauty and depth transcend the darkness of the story. The book is published by Scribner, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Jane Ann Phillips to the Roundtable.
Pleased to be here, Joe.
Very nice to have you with us. How did you come to this particular subject for Quiet Dell?
Quiet Dell was an almost mythical story when I was growing up in north central West Virginia. It's a tiny hamlet of about 100 people. My mother used to tell me the story of when she was 6 years old in 1931, and that summer when the crime was discovered, walking on this country road, very dusty, very hot, she saw cars parked as far as she could see along both sides of the road. And as she walked past the, quote, murder garage, holding her mother's hand, they heard the sounds of the crowd taking apart the building piece by piece for souvenirs. And her description just always stayed with me. I knew about the crime growing up, but it wasn't until I began to really do research maybe 8 years ago that I realized I wanted to write a version of the crime that was very close to reality in terms of using the real names and the way the crime actually happened, but giving it a kind of extra dimension, the dimension that literature can provide to history, especially making the victims real, making their lives important,
right,
and letting the reader truly enter their points of view, and to also go beyond the dimensions of physical lives. I mean, physical lives are so brief. I wanted to enter a dimension that moves beyond 1931 and even beyond our own time, and yet look at the different issues inside this crime as they resonate today.
And to create a character, a woman who faces up to these acts of violence, to ultimately create something better in the aftermath.
Exactly. We begin the book with Annabelle Eicher's point of view. She's a 9-year-old and a very fanciful child who writes tableaus and plays and has an incredibly optimistic view of who she'll be in the world. We come to realize, reading the book, that she actually sees images and has thoughts that provide hints to what actually happens later in the book. Power's trial was one of the first sensationalized crimes during the Depression. Every little town had two newspapers that published twice a day, and this completely dominated the news for maybe August through December. His trial ended in December 31. Emily Thornhill is a 35-year-old professional reporter, works for the Chicago Tribune. She's sort of pulled into the case to write coverage that will respect the family because she lives quite near to Park Ridge, which is a suburb of Chicago, and that's where the Eichers lived. This crime involves Asta Eicher, a 45-year-old widow who was about to lose her home and began corresponding with a very courtly gentleman who called himself Cornelius Pearson through a matrimonial agency with a respectable name of American Friendship Society. In fact, Powers was writing to over 200 women through a post office box in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And Emily follows the crime to West Virginia, later to Iowa and to different locales. We're looking at the mystery of how the crime happened, who Powers really was, where he came from. And she's also looking at the crime, which is being presented as a warning and lesson to women, for women to stay in their places, not to be ambitious, not to look outside the home, not to risk anything, whereas Emily herself is a real counterpart to Asta Eicher. It sort of brings to mind the idea that women and children are vulnerable if they have no resources, and that part of that is to be laid at society's door. It's not about purely about someone having bad judgment. Sometimes Powers was a chameleon, a mesmerizer, someone whose methods were almost hypnotic in certain situations. And the mystery of who he was definitely runs through Quiet Dell as well.
Do you think the story is something that was always of interest to you, or that it lay dormant for a long time? I mean, obviously it played in the background and was a part of your upbringing in the sense that the story was there in the community. But did it lay dormant for a while until you thought that, yes, I want to explore this more, to know more about it?
Oh, yes. You know, actually, you know, I was moving house and I came upon an old, a 1931 book that was really kind of an exploitation book about the crime. And I had Xeroxed the book from the local library in my hometown years before. And I realized that I wanted to, you know, I read it again. I began to look for photographs of the crime and the time. It became a huge sort of mystery. I located the grandchildren of a young photographer who took photographs at the scene that were absolutely beautiful and haunting. And I very much wanted, I mean, I suppose like Emily Thornhill, not to seek justice for the family, but to bring them back to life, to make them real, and to present the story in a way that really made it about them. And it's this idea, too, of, you know, goodness flying in the face of darkness. I think when people
right.
intervene on behalf of a victim or on behalf of a child who can't protect himself or herself, that is real human goodness kind of coming to the fore, and it is a way of opposing the darkness of these, you know, events that we almost can't understand in their brutality.
I've been told by many authors that darkness is always easier to write. Is that true?
I don't think so. I mean, I think darkness is, well, easier to write, you said. It's easy in terms that it's accessible.
Yes.
But I think it's almost harder to penetrate beyond darkness.
Right.
To the reasons for it, to being sympathetic to the reasons, to the ways in which we might oppose it. And certainly it's hard to write about these deep bonds that are forged between people when they step up to a tragedy. It's something that we don't think about a lot, but it certainly is true. And, you know, the characters in Quiet Dell who unite to sort of follow this case through, and particularly Emily Thornhill in her connection to Annabelle Eicher, who even beyond her death remains a presence in Quiet Dell, that sort of makes us think about the best dimensions of human character and human intelligence.
When you take on a project like this, how married were you to the facts? Did they ever get in the way of the fictional,
you know,
story?
I couldn't let them get in the way because I felt a tremendous allegiance to the real case. If the case unfolds in the book exactly as it did in reality, the book is full of captions from newspapers of the time in which you read the names of the characters you're reading about in the novel. There are photographs. However, because the case took place 83 years ago and the Eicher family, in fact, did vanish, they had no relatives, there were very few snippets of real information, little interviews from the papers of the time, some of which were wrong or kind of blown out of proportion. But there were just a few facts that emerged that allowed me to kind of go forward. I was able to, of course, imagine the perceptions, thoughts, relationships of the characters. So in a sense, I do create them again. I mean, this is definitely a novel. But I very much followed the links, so to speak, of reality.
Well, it is such a wonderful and extraordinary story that you tell. The novel is Quiet Dell. It is published by Scribner. Jane Ann Phillips, thank you so much for sharing with us this morning, and best of luck. I appreciate you being with us.
Thank you so much, and I'd just like to tell you that Quiet Dell is out in paperback with a beautiful reader's group guide in the back. And my website provides a lot more information and more photographs.
Yes, and the website is janeannphillips.com, janeannphillips.com. And again, the book is published by Scribner. Thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Joe.
Thank you so much. Again, the title of the book is Quiet Dell. It's published by Scribner. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.